Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on Making8.com. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Saltwater Cowboy. Make no mistake, that cowboy knows how to get it done. And if you are in the San Antonio area, make sure to go check out Saltwater Cowboy. He has got a lot in store for you. And so do we right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. Make no mistake, we are here taking your questions, your comments, and, of course, always your cowboy logic. 646-915-9940 if you want to give us a call. We're also in the chat room, so if you're tuning in to us here on Making8.com, you can register with Blog Talk Radio. Scroll on down the page. Make sure you log in. We'd love to have you join us in the chat room. We've got some special guests here today joining us. And, you know, this has been a really great week. Yesterday, of course, we had Austin Meyer here with us as he was making his way up to Montana. Matter of fact, I just saw some pictures he posted on Twitter, and looks a little cold up there. So thank God that I live down here in the Sunshine State. Gotta love it. We also want to wish some safe travels to some of our Making 8 Maniacs out there. We know that a few of you will not be joining us here today as they're out there on the plains and hitting the road. So we want to wish y'all the very best during this holiday season. Got to ask y'all Making 8 Maniacs something, though. Did you guys see the post that I posted out there last night on Twitter and on Facebook about our first show ever? I know that Barbara got out there and took a listen to it. I got to tell you, it is really impressive. Actually brought some tears to my eyes yesterday while I was listening to it, just to think how far we've come since 2008 when we did that very first radio broadcast. And, of course, you know, some of the questions were popping in, asking me if I actually was, you know, reading from a script. Yeah, I was. I started off that way. You know, it really is, you know, when you go back on it. But to think about the goals that we set out to achieve and what we talked about in 2008 on how we were going to bring you guys, you the fans, the Making 8 Maniacs, how we were going to bring you guys closer to the sport and how we were going to support these athletes and get you guys closer and more involved. You know, we're setting out to do that right now. And I am just so pleased. I could not, you know, could not imagine what we would be like now if it wasn't for you Making 8 Maniacs supporting us along the way here within the last, you know, couple of years, really. You know, you guys have done so great by us, and we sure appreciate every single one of you. Y'all really are the greatest fans anybody could ever ask for. We got another contest. Cowboy Dave is throwing another contest out there for you guys, and we got a cool little deal that we're going to let you know about here later on in our show. But we do have some guests coming in, and we're going to get them on the line here before too long, hopefully, anyways. So it should be a really good day. And how about we jump down here and start things off with a song to get us in the mood here on a barrel racing Bulldog and Tuesday. Of course, it's always PBR bull riding, and you know, we're just talking rodeo right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. So you guys stay tuned. Let's kick things off with a little Chris Ledoux to get us fired up on this great Tuesday afternoon. You know, not to mention this is the holiday week. So, you know, let's remember our friends and family as we get out and travel and spend some time with them during this Thanksgiving week. Don't go anywhere, rodeo fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on MakingA.com.
In the ditch, wish I was the son of someone rich. I throw $100 bills out on the road, and I'd catch me a ride to the rodeo. There's a mule deer laying by the road ahead. Well, he ain't sleeping, he's damn sure dead. Venison frying in the blazing sun. Right. Come on, someone. Yeah, my car broke down. I ain't got no money. Stuck out on the road. Hey, I need a ride now. Won't somebody take me to the rodeo? There's a buzzard circling up in the sky. And he's looking at me with them beady eyes. Well, I don't know, but I got a hunch. He'd rather have me than that deer for lunch. Right now, I wish I'd have stayed in school. But I had to be a rodeo cowboy fool. And I'll bet my daddy'd sure be proud. If he could take a look at his son right now. Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money. Stuck out on the road. And need a ride now. Won't somebody take me to the rodeo? In a Cadillac. She got the top rolled down and her hair tied back. She don't look, she don't even slow down. She just keeps them wheels rolling around. Yeah, my car broke down, I ain't got no money. Stuck out on the road. And need a ride now. Won't somebody take me to the rodeo?
This is Wrangler National Finals rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. Today's show is brought to you by Saltwater Cowboy. That's right. Y'all go check him out on the Makin8.com links right there on the front. He's a great partner to be up with, and we sure are proud to have him right here on Makin8.com. But we've got some guests here to talk with on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show, Makin8 Maniacs. This first guest that we're going to bring on here today has certainly added a whole new flavor behind the buck and shoots at the PBR. Y'all have seen this stock contractor out there. Y'all have seen this stock contractor's bulls out there at the PBR this year. One of the absolute youngest stock contractors around, and not to mention one of the prettiest. So we are going to bring in Miss Mesa Pate of Mesa Buck and Bulls. Mesa, welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Hi, I'm really happy to be on here.
Well, you know what? We are proud to have you on board. I know you're out in Texas right now, and I know, you know, for the Makin8 Maniacs out there, this young girl does more than just raise bulls. She has been so busy, and she is so hard to get a hold of. So you guys are really fortunate to have this girl with us here today.
yeah, it's been a busy month, really.
It definitely sounds like it has, and we have been following you on Twitter. I know some of our fans have as well. We're going to get into getting your links out there for us here a little bit in our show, but we have got some great questions here to ask you, and, of course, the Makin8 Maniacs are joining us here in the chat room, and I know that they're going to have some questions for you as well. But let's kind of start things off. When did you actually start getting into raising bulls?
When I was high school rodeoing, I've always been a PBR fan. My family always has. But I think I was about a sophomore, and I got real interested in it just from helping the stock contractor, and that they'd let me sort bulls, and I got to rope bulls at a couple of rodeos, and I loved being around them. I thought they were the coolest things ever, and I tried to convince my dad. I was like, well, let's be stock contractors. Let's have our own rodeo company. And he's like, no, that makes no money at all. It's a horrible idea. And I was like, all right, well, you do whatever you want to do. I'm going to go buy some bulls. And that's pretty much what I did. And last year in 2009 is when I really got into it seriously, I guess. I had some cows and raised some calves and stuff. And then I bought 10 cows from Bob Tallman. And I bought a futurity calf from Terry Williams, and it all kind of has gone from there.
So how old were you when you got your first bucking bull?
I was 17 when I got, no, 16, I guess. I was almost 17 when I got my first one. And then
what bull was that?
His name's 702 Cool. He's a calf that I bought from Terry Williams, and he is now a four-year-old, so I'm not sure. I guess I was 17 then. And I still have him, and he is pretty cool. He's real little, so I'm not sure what to do. I'm trying to make him grow right now.
Yeah. Well, how many bulls are you currently raising?
I have close to 20 head of bulls down in Texas with me. And then I have a bunch of coming two-year-olds and weanlings up in Montana at my family's ranch that are, you know, they're just growing up there. So about 20 that I'm bucking right now.
Okay. And we got to ask, how hard is it for somebody, you know, especially being a young woman like yourself, to get involved in this industry and to be behind the bucking chutes and dealing with these cowboys?
You know, I come from a place where I've always worked cattle, so I understand cattle first, and then I think that was a real advantage because I come into these bull rides and they see that I do understand it enough and understand the concept of everything that I kind of gain some respect that way, so it hasn't been too hard, and everybody's been so great and so helpful. And I don't know. I think that the biggest thing that I've had is just putting that pressure on myself. I haven't really felt pressure from anybody else being a girl or being young, just because I think I tried to prepare myself and learn as much and ask questions and not act like I, you know, had something to prove being a girl and being young. Has helped out a lot.
Well, it makes perfect sense. It really does. Who do you look up to most in the bucking bull industry?
HD Page. I really look up to HD. I think he's the best bull man there is. He's raised pretty much, you know, everything that they've had that has been successful, they've raised, and I think that's something that people should acknowledge more, is that their breeding program has gotten them where they are. And Bob Tallman, he kind of got me started, and he's, I think he's really underrated as far as a bullman goes, because you look at some of the really big time bucking bulls, and somewhere there's Tallman on his papers. And I learned a ton from Terry Williams, and I think he's a great, he's done a lot for the industry. So those are kind of the three main guys I look up to.
Right. Being back there behind the bucking chutes, do you have a favorite bull rider?
Well, I have a lot of friends that, you know, I mean, I love a bunch of those guys. They're like brothers. But Ty Murray, he's the all-time greatest, in my opinion, and he'll always be my favorite.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time with him out there at these Built Ford Tough Series events and all?
Ty, he's not – I actually knew Ty a little bit from my parents. We did a lot in the horse industry, and I knew him a little bit that way before I started with the bull deal. And he's really not at a lot of the events, or he wasn't at a lot of the events I was at, but I got to spend some time with him at the finals, and you know, he's a pretty cool cat, that one.
Yeah. speaking of finals, are you involved with the PRCA? Are you going to be out in Vegas during the NFR?
I'm going to go out for the bull sale. Right now, I'm a bull buyer, and I'm trying to buy bulls wherever I can. So I heard about some pretty good bulls that are going to be out there. So I'm just going to be there the 4th and 5th. And then a friend, my neighbor, their family is real involved in team roping, and she's got a couple family members that made it. So she wanted me to go watch with her. And so I'm just going to be out there for a couple days, but I haven't been in forever. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, actually, who, if you don't mind me asking, who would that be? It wouldn't be the Coopers, would it?
No, which one made it? She's got a bunch of them that, I can't even, now I feel like an idiot because I can't even remember which one of them made it.
Well, we actually were just out last week with Shane Hansey, who's
cool.
The world. Yeah, we just went down and did a sit-down interview with him. He was down here in Okeechobee, Florida, and practicing, working his horse, Riata. And I'll tell you what, he's going to be one to make a run, you know. Of course,
yeah.
They're all chasing Trevor Brazil. I mean, this guy, you know, he's just been around for so long, and it's it's just another day at the rodeo for him. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
The cool thing about Shane is he's such a horseman. We college rodeoed in the same region, and I didn't know him personally, but I always liked watching Shane because he really was, he's a horseman. And that's why I think Trevor Brazil is such an amazing hand, is because first and foremost, Trevor's a horseman, and I see a lot of that in Shane.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we learn. We spent some time with both Shane and his brother out there, and his brother, of course, is AQHA world champion, Jason. And
yeah.
He taught us a lot about that. You know, I mean, really, that's what it takes. I mean, you know, anybody can go out there and get on a horse and learn how to throw a rope, you know, and tie down a calf. But, you know, really, you have to be a good horseman first, and that's real important. He's real aggressive. I love that kid. He's a great guy, and, I think he's going to do really well this year.
Yeah, I do, too. I think he's going to be one of the greats, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're going to see him. Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see him in the run for a while. What are some of the things that you enjoy outside of the arena?
Well, I'm actually working on my degree in journalism. I really like writing, and I'm kind of exploring the broadcasting side a little bit. Other than that, I don't do anything that's not really involved with with rodeo or horses or ranching some way. And that's, you know, that's how my family grew up, and that's where we find our enjoyment. I mean, I rodeo also, and I work a lot of horses and train horses, so that's pretty much all I do.
We've actually got some questions coming in here in our chat room asking if you also do other events around rodeo. You don't just raise bulls and haul bulls, but you do other events, correct?
Mm-hmm. I run barrels and I rope a lot. I love to breakaway rope and team rope, but I'm actually getting ready to – I bought my permit for the PRCA, and now I'm while we're on break from the PBRs, I'm going to try to get to some pro rodeos and fill my permit. So hopefully that goes good.
Yeah, well, you know what, definitely good luck with that. And I know you were mentioning earlier when we were talking that you're also going to try to hit the PRCA rodeos, the pro rodeos, while the PBR is on break over the summer, correct?
Yeah, I'm from Montana, and there's no better place than Montana in the summer. It's beautiful there, and the weather's really nice, and it's a really good place for the bulls, and there's a bunch of small rodeos, and I'm actually going to try to take some bulls to the younger bulls to some pro rodeos just to pretty much teach them how to haul. And then I'm also going to try to make the circuit finals in Montana doing that up there. So
now, do you actually have to have separate trailers to haul those your horses for the events as well as the livestock, the bulls?
Well, probably should. I don't know. I kind of get my trailer specially made, so there's a spot in the front where I can put horses, smaller slot. And that way, you know, I'd never mix my horses and bulls together, but I'm a little ranchier than some barrel racers, so my horses get hauled with my bulls a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Making Eight Maniacs could sure look forward to that, you know, seeing you out this summer maybe and having you pull up with your horses and your bulls loaded up on one trailer. That would be that's quite interesting. I like that. That's a ranch hand right there. There's no doubt. One of the other questions coming in, what college did you go to?
I was going to school in Carthage, Texas, at a community college there. And then I took this semester off, this past semester, and then I'll start again at Hillsborough College in Hillsborough, Texas.
Okay. All right. Actually have another one, and this kind of brings us to the next point. Now I knew this was going to happen because, you know, you are just such a looker back there behind the bucking sheets, and anytime the camera crosses paths, you know that everybody's making comments about how pretty that young girl is back there flanking those bulls.
I think it's just the contrast with me and Chad Berger, really.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's really that I'm that pretty. I think it's just, you know, I'm always next to Chad and Jeff, and so it just
right.
makes me look pretty good.
I don't know about that, though. We've seen some of your pictures out there on Twitter and Facebook, so... Are you single?
No, I'm actually dating McKinnon Wimberly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That was actually the question that came in was, you know, would you ever date a bull rider? So that answers your question, Miss Crisco, in the chat room.
Well, the funny thing about that is that, like, it wasn't really a rule, but I came into this as, like, I don't want people thinking that I'm just doing this to meet bull riders and stuff. So, like, I'm not going to date a bull rider. But then McKinnon, he and I have been best friends for a long time, and he and I just are so much alike, and he loves ranch work and all that stuff. So it's, and, you know, so I don't know, it just kind of happened. And I mean, he's one of the best going, but he's a cool guy.
Yeah, well, he definitely is. We've got to get him out here on our lunch hour shows and talking with the fans. We'd love to have him. I wish I'd have known that sooner. We'd have called him up on the phone and give him a hard time, you know. I don't know. What's he doing today? Do you know?
I'm sitting in the truck, and he is cleaning the back. I've been feeding in his truck, and I left some baling twine back there, and I'm watching him empty it out right now.
Oh, is that right? Well, shoot.
Yeah.
Give him the number. Tell him to call in. We'll get both of you guys on the phone. That would be great. Love to have you guys.
Okay.
And I know the fans would love to talk to McKinnon. Well, I'll tell you what. We got about 5 minutes. We'll take a short break, and when we do that, we'll see if we can't get McKinnon out here with us. I know the fans would absolutely love that and see how he's doing as well. But we've got some more questions for you. How many Built Ford Tough Series events do you plan on going to this year?
I plan on going to as many as I can. I'll probably go to, if all goes how it's supposed to, I'll probably go to a little more than half of them. And but it all depends on what Cody Lambert wants, which bulls he wants at which event. And so we'll see. But I plan on going to a lot of them.
Yeah. How many bulls? Now, we know you have Closet Gangster, right? Who was at the finals?
I sold Closet Gangster to Jeff Robinson.
Oh, you did?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So
what are some of the other bulls that you have?
Well, I have a bull. I have a bull named Riled Up. He's a big brindle, and he's one of the first bulls I bought. And he's actually my brother's name is Ryle, so he got named Riled Up after Ryle because I didn't really like this bull at first, so I named him after my brother. But I like him now, so I don't know. We might have to change it.
You gotta change his name, huh?
No. But,
wow, that's funny.
That's he's one of them, and then my kind of I wouldn't say he's my favorite, but he's kind of my I don't know. He's one of my favorites. His name's Cowboy Casanova, and he was my classic bull last year, and he got hurt pretty bad. He hurt his hock, and I just got him back from the vet, and he should be good to go by probably February, and I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to be really, really outstanding this year. And then I just bought two new bulls that I'm really excited about. One of them, and I haven't named him yet, but he's a big brindle, and he's real cool. And let's see, I've got a bunch. My problem right now is that I have really young bulls. Like 2008, these coming 4-year-olds, 2008 was a great year for the bull industry because there are so many coming 4-year-olds, and I'm needing like 5-year-olds, but there are a lot of coming 4-year-olds out there in the world right now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to find a few older bulls between now and the beginning of the year.
Yeah, because we certainly want to see you getting out there to more of these events. We want to see your bulls buck. I mean, you know, watching them there at the PBR finals was great. It was just really exciting to see you. And of course, you know, if you guys missed the opportunity to watch her with Flint down there on Flint's show, you really missed out on a lot of fun. It seemed like you were really having a good time out there in Vegas.
Yeah, we were. And Flint and I go way back. It's funny, we always tease everybody because we're kind of related. He was we used to be related. He's my dad's sister's ex-husband's brother. So we always make fun of that fact. And
right.
So it was really fun to go on.
Yeah,
it was fun to go on the show.
We saw that. There was somewhere down the family tree, but apparently one person from his family didn't get along with some person in your family, so they parted ways. So now you guys are distant relatives, huh?
Yeah, we still claim each other, though.
I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. If you've got a minute, how about if we take a short break, and when we come back, we'll see if we can't have you snag McKinnon and you know, you got to give him a break. I mean, you know, it is his off season. This is supposed to be his vacation time, and here you are putting in the work.
I know. Yeah, he just actually got back from Canada, and so he's been slacking. He's got to go back to work, the real work.
Well, yeah, that would be really good. We can sit back with the two of you, and we'll talk a little bit more. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'll see if I can round him up.
Great. Okay, don't go anywhere, rodeo fans. We've got another special treat in store for you. Mason Pate joining us here, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll see if we can't get him back on the line with us. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on Makin8.com.
A rodeo's just a rodeo after riding several years. From old Cheyenne to Houston, they never cause too much fear. But let me tell you about one that will chill your very soul. It happens in December when it's snowing and it's cold. In Oklahoma City, there's a building of concrete. It's where the toughest stocking men will gather and compete. The points have all been tallied and the stock has all been brought. We've got just 2 more hours, 'cause it starts at 8 o'clock. It's the finals, the NFR, the series of the sport. Hey, rookie, can you take 10 head? Have you got the heart? You think you're a tough cowboy? We'll find out in the end when that final whistle blows and the stock's all in the pen. The Coliseum's quiet, except for the sounds of cowboys getting ready and the workmen of the grounds. The cowboys ask each other what each other's got. Did you draw old necklace or pluck old double lock? The tension now is mounting as the crowd starts pouring in. A shiver goes all through me like from a cold, cold wind. I hear the horses coming, running down the alleyway. They're snorting and a-blowing as men shut the sliding gates. It's the finals, the NFR, the series of the sport. Hey, rookie, can you take 10 head? Have you got the heart? You think you're a tough cowboy? We'll find out in the end when that final whistle blows and the stock's all in the pen. We had too much time a while ago, but not enough time now. The anthem is now over, the grand entry's going out. I sit here on my bronc, I'm ready and I wait. I hear a chute swing open, so I look out through the gate. A horse jumps out and blows up, he's kicking at the roof. And then out comes another bucking like a curly wolf. I hear the chute boss holler through the yelling of the crowd. He says there's one ahead of you, so you'd better get screwed down. It's the finals, the NFR, the series of the sport. Hey, rookie, can you take 10 head? Have you got the heart? You think you're a tough cowboy? We'll find out in the end when that final whistle blows and the stock's all in the pen. I nod my head, I'm in a daze, the horse goes boiling out. I lay my spurs along his neck and then I drag him out. My mind is in a blur, my eyes are seeing red. The flank cat slams into my back, his rump bangs on my head. Then somewhere in the background I can hear that buzzer sound. My hands jerk from the rigging and I crash into the ground. I stumble to my feet and as I stagger to the wall, I wonder to myself, is it really worth it all? It's the finals, the NFR, the series of the sport. Hey, rookie, can you take 10 head? Have you got the heart? You think you're a tough cowboy? We'll find out in the end when that final whistle blows and the stock's all in the pen. It's the finals, the NFR, the series of the sport. Hey, rookie, can you take 10 head? Have you got the heart? You think you're a tough...
5-time world champion Rob Smits. You're listening to Making8.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. That's right, right here on Making8.com. Now, we've just been sitting talking with Mesa Pate of Mesa Bucking Bulls. And we've got a special special guest joining us here in just a few minutes. But I know all the Making 8 maniacs are looking for the email address that PBR Get Tough. That's right. Cowboy Dave is putting on another contest for you. You have the opportunity to get your own cowboy for Christmas. And you know what? It granted, it is a cardboard cutout, but it's life size. And you know what? We're not you know, we don't have that kind of pull to go and get these real bull riders down there for Christmas. But you have a chance to have one join you for Christmas. The email address, pbrchristmas at pbrbuiltfortough.com. All you have to do is send in your name and address to that email address, or yes, to the email address, and you'll be selected or you'll be put in the drawing. You're going to draw 3 names from a hat, and those 3 winners will have their choice of what cutout that they want, what PBR bull rider they want to join them for Christmas. So stay tuned to Twitter, stay tuned to Facebook for more information on that, and we'll get it out to you. Now, back to the action. We're sitting here with Mesa, and Mesa, welcome back here to the Lunch Hour Show.
Hey there.
We have had a great opportunity sitting here talking with you and really enjoyed it. However, you kind of let out that you are actually involved with a bull rider who just happens to be one of our favorites here on MakingEight.com, and that would be PBR sensation McKinnon Wimberly, correct?
Yes.
Well, let's see if we can't get him on the phone here. Now, we know that you have put him to work since he's been back from Canada, so let's see if we can get in and talk with him just a little bit. McKinnon, you there?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Oh, it is going fantastic. Welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show, buddy.
Thank y'all for having me on.
Well, shoot, we're just glad that that Mesa has given you a little bit of a break to, take a break and take time out of work here to come and have some fun with us here on the Lunch Hour Show.
I know. She keeps him busy. I was glad I was getting a little break here.
I hear you. Well, glad we can help you out with that. Now, I know you just got back from the Canada Finals, correct?
Yes, sir.
How did you make out up there?
I didn't do so great. Got the rope jerked out of my hand on both my bulls right at the whistle. So didn't go so good. So I guess I'm headed to Australia tonight, and I'll use a little bit stickier Rosnell to work out better.
There you go. Well, hey, we have been doing a lot of work with Brendan Clark, and of course we have been giving Luke Snyder a hard time on Twitter. We've got a lot of fans out here that are tuning in. They're actually listening to us right now, and they're in our chat room. So I know that they've got a few questions for you. But first off, definitely want to wish you the best of luck out there in Australia. Make sure to go give Brendan Clark and Luke Snyder a hard time for us, okay? Tell them it's courtesy of Making Eight.
You bet. Yeah, they've been giving me a hard time ever since I started getting on Twitter, so I owe them some.
So you also have a Twitter account, correct?
Yes, sir.
Great. Well, we have got to get that here in just a minute. We're going to get yours and Mesa's so that way all the fans tuning in can actually follow you. And hopefully we'll get some information and find out how things are going for you over there in Australia this weekend. Now, do me a favor, though. When you get over there, definitely make sure that Luke has shaved his beard. We're giving him such a hard time about it. This guy, he's grown his beard out for hunting, but I personally think it's because the guy's so short that he gets mistaken for being 12 and 13 all the time that he grew his beard out so they wouldn't realize, would think that he's a little bit older, and they let him sit up at the bar with the big guys,
Yeah, I think once he gets to Australia, summertime over there, he'll probably be shaving it. But, yeah, they also say it's no shave November, and a lot of my friends tried to get me not to shave, but I don't grow a very good beard, and I figured it'd look pretty weird by the end of November. So,
right. Well, we actually just had Austin Meyer on our show yesterday, and of course he's heading up to Montana, so we know he's growing a beard out for sure this month. I think that guy spent more time in the woods than he has at his house. But of course we see him year round. I mean, it almost looks like he's got a full beard going on.
Yeah, he's a lot better at it. His dad's a big old husky fella, and I guess they produce a little better beard-growing genetics than mine. Mine grows mustaches, I guess.
For sure, man. So tell us about what you got going on here during the break. I know that you're still involved with the PBR Finals in Canada as well as Australia, so you're heading over for that. But what else are your plans, man? What else do you have going on this month?
Man, mostly I've just been taking a break. I was a little bit beat up going into the finals and coming out of the finals, and I took a few weeks off, and I was going to wait until the Canadian finals to get on anything, and I told Mesa, I said, if I wait, I think it was 3 weeks, I said, if I wait 3 weeks to get on anything, that'll be the longest I've ever gone since I was 11 years old without getting on bulls without being hurt, and I made it about a week and a half, and we went and bought some practice bulls. I couldn't make it, but no, that's about all I do. I just bought a house and stuff and working on it a little bit, but we mainly just ride horses and mess with our cattle and and buck bulls every chance we get.
Right. Now, so are you getting on Mesa's bulls out there during the off season?
Yeah, I'm her test pilot. I try out all the new bulls. I'm the test dummy, so.
Right on, man.
I get on these bulls, and then we take them to the Built Ford Tough. And when she had Closet Gangster, which was at the finals, Renato picked him, and I said, oh, he's good. I got on him in the practice pen the other day. Renato got off of him. He said, McKinnon, you crazy. No practice bull. He said, PBR finals bull, you crazy.
Did you ride him in the practice pen, McKinnon?
No, but I rode everything else you put me on except for your heifers.
He got bucked off the heifers. The bulls,
really?
He can ride, the heifers he can't.
Wow, man. You know what? This is really good. I'm glad we've got Mesa here. She can kind of let us in on the secrets here with some of you bull riders. This is great.
Yeah,
I got on
a few of her heifers the other day, and what she didn't throw in there is I was pulling my own rope and trying to take it easy on her little young heifers, but, yeah, they all bucked me off.
Mm-hmm.
So McKinnon can ride the rank ones, but he can't get out. You know, and I've actually got a good friend of mine. You might actually know him, Brian Corson. And I know when I say that name, some of the bull riders are like, oh, man, you're actually friends with that guy. But, you know, Brian Corson's been around for a long time, and, you know, he's kind of the same way. He'll get out here at these small jackpot rodeos and get out and get underneath, you know, get on top of some of these small little young, you know, calves. And really, he gets bucked off pretty quick, but you get a rank one up underneath him, and he'll sure as heck sperm in the neck, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of know how that is, man. You got to tell her, you know, you got to get those rank bulls up underneath you. You only ride the rank ones, right?
I'm pretty good at trying to stay on them all, but I was just trying to cut her heifer some slack. But, no, we get to buck a lot of good bulls, and I get to get on some rank ones and some nice ones. And best thing about it is I've dated barrel racers and all that stuff, which Mason runs barrels, but when I need to get on bulls, she doesn't need to go run barrels. She needs to buck bulls. So we just load them up and go do
there
it, take
go.
Them to the arena, and we buck them with just me and her and a couple other people and just have fun.
Right on, man.
Yeah,
the
nice thing about McKinnon is, you know, I've been around a lot of bull riders who they think they get on a lot of bulls a day, but he will get on as many bulls as you need bucked, and that's what, I mean, he's the greatest to help buck bulls, because, you know, whatever you need, he's gonna help you with.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
And that's what it takes. You know, that's what it takes to be where you're at right now, McKinnon, is getting under, you know, getting on as many bulls as you can, as often as you can. And that's something that Gary LaFue preaches, and of course, he's a good friend of ours as well. And, you know, we try to encourage that to all the bull riders that we haul around, too, is, you know, you got to take advantage of it while you can. It's not going to do anything but benefit yourself, you know, to get that knowledge. So we sure, you know, sure respect you for it, man. It's a great thing.
You bet. I appreciate it.
What are your plans? Are you looking forward to January?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I kind of enjoy the breaks, you know, and getting to be around the house and ride some of my young horses and stuff like that. But I can't stand not getting on bulls every weekend. And I like going and being on the road and meeting new people, and really looking forward to New York. It's always a fun event. And then I think Mace is going to try to haul some bulls to the events in California, and we're just going to take a couple-week road trip and try to haul a trade load of bulls up there. And I always have a lot more fun when we get to go and instead of just sitting in a hotel room when I'm in town, I can go out and feed bulls and kind of sort them around and move them around and stuff, and it's a lot better for me. Some of the guys are just bull riders, and they enjoy the nightlife and everything, but I enjoy the cowboy part of it too, so.
Most definitely, man. That's awesome. And, you know, it's really cool. You know, we do see guys like Sean Willingham and some of these other guys that, you know, they'll be the first ones to tell you they're not real cowboys. I mean, as far as, you know, living the day out there on the ranches and working the cows and things like that. Now, I mean, being around the bull riding industry, it's kind of hard to get away from it, you know. But at the same time, when you go back to these cities and things like that, they're just not around it a whole lot. So it's cool to see that you guys are still out there working the ranches and doing what you do. I mean, Brendan Clark was on his show and talking about how he got to do a little bit of that just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few of the guys that do raise bucking bulls and raise cattle and have grown up on ranches. But then there's also this group of guys that's just adrenaline junkies and likes the adrenaline that it gives you. I mean, I've never found anything like bull riding. I've done a lot of crazy stuff and every dangerous thing you can do, but I've never found anything that gives you a rush like bull riding does, and it's just something that you kind of get addicted to and just want to do over and over again. And there's some guys that just started riding bulls when they were 17, 18 years old and just thought it looked fun, you know, and that works just as well. But a lot of the guys growing up on ranches and stuff, you're always riding the calves around or getting on a horse that bucks or doing something like that just to go have fun, and then you find bull riding, and that's a way to make money and have fun. So,
right on. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I actually am one of those guys. I did not have an opportunity to start riding bull tugs in my 20s and went to Lyle Sankey's rodeo school. I figured, you know, if I was going to do it, I needed to learn, you know, the techniques, the fundamentals of riding, and started getting out and rode some circuits here in the Southeast, you know, got into some enterprise deals. You know, obviously I was not going to be a big name in the sport. Just felt like, you know, I needed to be around it somehow, though. And, you know, when I got injured back in 07, I decided that that was it and started working on making eight. So here we are right now. You know, sitting down with you guys, this is what it's all about right here. The fans are just absolutely loving it. They're popping in our chat room and just posting comments about how great it is to have you guys with us today, both you and Mesa both, and how much, you know, they really like having the opportunity to get to talk with you and get to know you a little bit. You know, you guys are both really great to your fans, you know, and of course, Mesa, you certainly have some fans out there as well. I mean, everybody respects you for what you do in hauling these bulls and getting back there behind the bucking chutes, you know, up next to guys like, you know, Paige and Teague and you know, Jeff Robinson and things like that. You know, it says a lot for you to be involved as much as you are and to raise the quality of bulls that you do. So we certainly applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. It's such a great sport, and I just love being involved with it however I can. It just happens to be with the bulls, and I hope I get to do it for a long time.
Oh, I'm sure
she's
you
only will. Been in the PBR for a year, and I've been in the PBR for 4 years, and she has more fans than I do already.
Well, that's because you're McKinnon Wimberly, you know? really, though, I think that you have a lot more fans than what you let on, though. Everybody loves McKinnon, and we look forward to seeing you out there in 2011 as well. And, of course, we have our own fan group here on Making 8. We have the Making 8 Maniacs, and they're just, like I said, they're lighting up our chat room right now, going crazy for you, man. They certainly well, you know what? That's actually, we got a comment that just came in that says the only reason why she has more fans than you is because she's a lot prettier than you are.
I know. She's got me beat there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you know what, though? There's, I've always learned that, you know, once you throw on those chaps and those spurs, though, you know, most women will not say that there's an ugly bull rider. that's just a fact,
every
man.
Girl,
I live that
every
life.
Every girl wants a dirty cowboy.
That's right. well, I got to tell you, we certainly appreciate having both you guys on, and definitely good luck over there in Australia. So you guys are going to be spending Thanksgiving apart then, huh?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I kind of adopted his family, though, so I'm probably going to hang around with them.
Really?
Yeah, they like her more than they do me, too.
Don't feel bad, man. I've been married for 11 years, and my family's told me that if I get divorced, that they're taking her and kicking me out.
Dad's his traveling partner and everything. I think that I'm probably in the same boat.
Wow. McKinnon, how can our fans follow you? What's your Twitter address there?
It's McKinnon123.
McKinnon 123. Okay,
yep.
So if you are not following McKinnon Wimberly on Twitter, you need to get over there and follow him. Do you have a Facebook page as well?
I don't.
Don't, okay.
He's anti-Facebook.
Anti-Facebook. Do you have a website?
I don't have that either. I'm going to start getting this Macy girl to work on it for me and try to get some good videos of my calves bucking and me riding, but we're working on it.
Right on. Well, just don't put any heifers on there because we know you can't ride those, right?
Yeah, I'm going to put my friends on the heifers.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, we look forward to having you on here on the Lunch Hour shows more often, buddy. If there's anything that we can do to help promote you guys, please let us know. And, you know, definitely enjoy your time off, man. We look forward to seeing you in January.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Well, we're going to go back to talking with Mesa a little bit just because she's prettier to talk to.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good time, and thank you for having me on.
All right, McKinnon. Take care, buddy.
All right. Bye.
All right, Miss Mesa. Well, I certainly appreciate you doing that for us.
That was fun.
What is your Twitter?
My Twitter is Mesa Pate, I think is all it is.
Yep, I believe you're right. And, of course, we have
like,
those links. You also have
like we talked about, you know, I'm very Twitter novice. I have to have Brendan walk me through it again because my lesson didn't go so well.
Well, there's no doubt that Brendan Clark is the Twitter king. Anybody that's got issues that are around there, you know, he will definitely help get those set up. And
I think I got to be like a technical guy for them because really, I don't know anybody who knows more about Twitter than he does.
That's for sure. You know, that would make a great sponsor for Brendan. You know,
no kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to work on that. We'll see if we can't call our people and tell them that they need to get over and sponsor Brendan because he is the Twitter king.
He really is.
MesaBuckingBulls.com, correct?
Yes, and it's we're still working on it, so there's really not a lot of content on there. But within the next month, it's kind of going to be up and running better.
Okay,
so,
and if you know, I'll throw something out at you. If you need some help with it, please feel free to give us a call anytime. I mean, you have my number now, so don't hesitate. We'd love to help you out with that. We actually helped build a couple websites ourselves, so anything we can do to help you guys out. And of course, if you like what you see on MakingEight.com, you know, we can certainly help with throwing some stuff out there for you. But you do also have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what is that?
It's also Mesa Pate.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
But if you look me up, you should be able to find me. All right.
Absolutely.
Not many people named Mesa out there.
Yeah, there really isn't. Where did you get that name, by the way?
One of my cousins was. She's a little bit younger than me, but part of my family. They're planning on naming their daughter Mesa Blue. And I kind of wonder, this seems kind of mean to me, but my mom stole the name because she had me first. So I got the name Mesa Blue, and my cousin got the name Sierra, and they just really liked it. But then my parents were working on a ranch when I was born, and they had a bunch of Peruvians working there. And, you know, they saw me when they brought me home from the hospital, and they're going, oh, such, you know, what's the baby's name? And my mom says Mesa. And they go, you name your baby Table? And because Mesa means table in Spanish. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so my name's Table.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well.
So Sierra, she might have thought she got, you know, shorted on the name deal, but at least she's not a piece of furniture.
Piece of furniture, right. So we certainly have enjoyed having you on, and we look forward to having you on a lot more. We want to find out how things are going during the season. So, you know, we'd love to hear from you and find out how your bulls are doing. And definitely good luck to you. Enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday, McKinnon will be back and hanging out with you for Christmas, right?
Yep, he will be.
Good.
I don't know. He might never come back from Australia. I hear it's pretty nice over there.
Yeah, you know what? We're looking for our chance to get over there, too. And, of course, now that we're doing these live video broadcasts and the fans are just craving, you know, these live video broadcasts, we're hoping that maybe even next year we can get out there and broadcast them live on the Internet. So who knows where that's going to take us. Yeah. And, you know, we're looking to get into some of the touring pros this year. So are you going to have any plans on taking your bulls out to any of the touring pros?
Yeah, I need to just to get some pro bull stats on some of the bulls. So, yeah, I'll be around, mostly in Texas, though.
Okay, good. Well, who knows? I mean, of course, Rob Smets lives just down the road from you, and hopefully we're going to have some time to get out there, and we'd love to come down to the ranch and hang out with you a little bit and see some of your bucking bulls.
Oh, yes. You're welcome anytime.
Okay. Well, I might take you up on that. Don't be surprised if you get a phone call from me saying, hey, we're on our way.
No, that's fine. Just make yourselves at home.
All right, Mesa. Well, I'll tell you what. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Make sure to tell McKinnon thank you from all the Making 8 fans here tuning in today. Thanks to you both, and best of luck to you guys.
Oh, well, thank you, and thank you for having us.
Yes, ma'am. You have yourself a great holiday week, and get a grip. We'll see you guys coming up here in the beginning of the season.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
All right there, Making 8 Maniacs. That has been our show for the day right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. Not only did we have one of the best stock contractors in the business, one of the youngest, up and coming, this girl has got a bright future in raising bucking bulls. She knows what she's doing. Make no mistake. I mean, she definitely had, she had a couple of her bulls at the finals this year, and I can almost bet that she is probably going to have a couple more by the end of this season. So you guys can look forward to that. Make sure you follow Mesa Pate on your Twitter as well as your Facebook. Get over there and give her some encouragement throughout the season. I know she would really enjoy that, as well as check out her website. And, of course, McKinnon Wimberly, a pleasure to have him on the show with us as well. I look forward to getting in contact with him more. And who knows, we'll sit back with him during the season and try to find out how he's doing as well. So, you guys stay tuned. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got another episode of the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on Making8.com. And who knows how we're going to top it. You never know. Then again, we might not be able to. These last 2 days have just been great. First with Austin Meyer yesterday, today with Mesa Pate and McKinnon Wimberly. So who knows what tomorrow is going to hold, rodeo fans. We got to close things out with some cowboy logic. And if you guys have Mesa Pate on your Facebook, you've seen her status up there since Sunday. And I wanted to use that. It really kind of stood out to me. You can pay for school, but you can't buy class. So there is some cowboy logic for you for the day, courtesy of Mesa Pate. Thank you guys once again for joining us here today. I'm going to close things out with our very first song that we played on our very first radio broadcast back in April. So if you heard it before, you're going to hear it again. And this one here really stands out to me. Tells us a lot about who we are as far as Making 8 Outreach and what we're here to do. So thank everybody for tuning in. Until tomorrow, y'all get a grip with Making 8.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. To listen and believe. for a giant with just a swing and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant called out my name and they laughed at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I want you to listen and believe the voice of truth.
The stone was just the right size for the giant on the ground. And the way made us think so high. Stop there looking down.
Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making 8 is a winner.